Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I just pray today that as you search our hearts and our minds and who we are and how we've been made up and most of all how we've been remade in Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to pray for realization today. I want to pray, Lord, for realization that we as a body of Christ have the ability to make a difference. And just let that set in our minds and our hearts and let us be inspired to do great things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you all have ever seen a problem, had a problem, been around a problem, observed a problem? How many of you all are a problem? No? Okay, just check. Well, I want to encourage us today, and we're going to the characteristic, and I want to give you really three characteristics that stand out in this character of the Bible we're going to look at. If you go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to be looking in that first chapter. First characteristic is simply this: do I care? Do I care? You see, if you come to Christ and Jesus Christ forgives you of all of your sins, eventually you get a heart that cares. That's a part of the ethos, part of the environment, part of the chemistry of those of us who follow Jesus Christ. How many of you care? Wait, watch, let me show you. How many of you care about different things now because you've come to Christ? How many of y'all care about some things you thought you'd never care about? You know, I care that you get better. You know, I got to be honest, before Jesus Christ, I really didn't care about anybody else. Now, I did care about me. How many of y'all cared about you? Before Christ, man, I cared about what I was going to have and what I was going to do and what kind of success I was going to live and was I going to be recognized as somebody. But when you come to Jesus Christ and it gets real, and you realize that at one moment in my life's journey, I was a sinner, separated from God. And now because of the activity of Jesus, because of the cross, and because of the resurrection, I'm not what I used to be. How many of y'all got that going on? I'm not what I used to be. I care about things that God cares about. So the first characteristic we're going to struggle with, wrestle with, and shape today is, I care. Say that with me, I care. I just care. How many of y'all care about baby Reese? You see, let's start with the baby. We dedicated the baby this morning. Man, I care about baby Reese. You know what? I want her to grow up and have a beautiful life. I want Kevin and Terry to be able to bring her to a church that she can embrace and she can get into. And I pray that she hears about this. I pray she hears about Jesus crucified and resurrected. I pray that she learns the books of the Bible and she hears some of the heroes of the Bible and she begins to build a foundation. I pray one day she'll say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I pray when she goes to the first grade class, she's going to have fun. And when she's in junior high, in that transition, she's going to see that Christ is still the same. And as she goes through adolescence, a foundation is going to be set so that one day, now Kevin, this is coming hopefully a long, long time, but it's coming sooner than you think. One day, there'll be a young man that is made for her. See what I'm saying? It's made for her, and she can recognize that because she's got a foundation in Christ, and she gets married, and she has a stable house. You know what I figure? If we do that a whole lot of times, we've created a better world. Make sense? If we do that a whole lot of times, we've created a better world. Anybody agree with me? I think if we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, really have strong, godly families with children that are built on solid foundations, that have great walls that glorify God in their lives, you know what I believe? I believe that'll do better than politics. Anybody believe that'll do better than politics? Huh? Now, church, I think we're going to have to get to believing that we're the wall and not the politicians. Would you agree with me that the church may have, since 1970, traded in the power of the Holy Spirit for political power? Have you all seen that? Now, really, this is going to amaze you all, some of y'all that are really young. Pastors didn't used to fool with politics. They had pulpits and politicians had platforms. Now they both have platforms. So I would strongly suggest that the preachers get back in the pulpit and preach in such a way that the platforms would be changed. Amen? But preach. So you gotta care. Young people, you know what? We care enough that y'all stay up all night long to celebrate Jesus. Isn't that crazy? That you all have a good time. We care that you all have good lives in this church. We want you to be the best possible people that you can be in Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Somebody cares. So at least y'all can't run around in your 30s and go, ain't nobody cared about me. That's why I'm a bum. Reason I've had 6 marriages is because nobody cared about me. Reason I'm on drugs because nobody ever gave me any attention. Because that'd be a lie in your all situation. Y'all got several thousand people that care about you at all times. So the ability to do what? Care. Second characteristic in Nehemiah, to repent and be honest. I'm going to put those two together. Or an honest repentance. How many of y'all realize that you'll get better when you honestly repent? Now, can I just give you a hint? If you'll change where you are personally at fault, life will change. How many of y'all spend more time trying to change everything around you than change where you are? You know, I understand people have bad parents, but I want you to hear something if you've had bad parents. I want you to understand there are people that have horrible parents that live full and abundant lives. You see, this is the power of God. But what we've done is we've created a world that excuses everybody else for our dilemma. You got to repent and honestly repent. Own up to where you're wrong. You know why I didn't make good grades in math? Because I didn't study real hard. Okay, there's the problem. It wasn't the teacher's fault. It wasn't the principal's fault. It wasn't the school board's fault. It wasn't the political party's fault. It wasn't my ethnic background that was at fault. It was that I personally made decisions that had absolute impact on my destiny. How many of y'all believe you can do that? Most of my problems are my own fault. I mean, y'all getting awful quiet on me now. I must be getting close to home. You know, y'all locked up on me. How many of y'all found most of my problems? How many of y'all, think about this a minute. Most of my problems are my fault because I made some bad choices. How many of y'all ever made a bad choice? How many of y'all ever made a bad choice and knew you were making a bad choice as you were making a bad choice? How many of y'all made the same bad choice over and over again expecting a different result from a bad choice that's already verified it has a bad result? Well, we need salvation. Amen. Amen. And here's the third thing. If you care and then honestly repent, you got to become available. Ready? This is going to be the tough part here. Available to be the answer. Available to be the answer. See, why are you waiting on somebody else to tell your neighbor about Jesus? Why are you waiting on somebody else to make this church great? Why are you waiting on your spouse to have a great marriage? Why don't you go ahead and have one? You know what I found? If you decide to have one, the other one will come along. And then if both of you decide to have one, that's called really hot. Children, step out there and get involved. Get past your environment and into the kingdom of God. Isn't this what Jesus is teaching us anyway? When he came here, didn't he try to say, wait, open your eyes. What you see is not all that you see. What surrounds you is greater than what you can visualize. I'm glad to not be alone. Amen. Well, Nehemiah had some of these senses. First of all, he cared. It was in the year of the king, and Nehemiah was exiled from his people. How many of y'all have ever been exiled from your people? Okay, we've had racial issues since the beginning of time. Do y'all understand that? We've had people that have been exiled. We have people that are in slavery. We've had people that have been oppressed. We've had people that have been lifted up, and we have people that have been put down. That's been going on since the beginning of time. That is nothing new. Now, what we have to decide is where will I stand with God in what's going on? The Jewish people have taken more oppression, more slavery, more smacking around in human history than any other people group. How many of y'all realize that? That blow y'all away? The Jews have experienced more slavery than anybody. And somehow or another, they run the commodities market. Somehow or another, they don't continue to live in oppression. And I think Nehemiah gives them a little lift, because Nehemiah begins to indicate when the walls come down, it doesn't mean they have to stay down. You see, sometimes what we do in life, as soon as everything has gone wrong, we give up and we keep it there. Y'all understand that? Just because you fail a test doesn't mean you're going to fail the next test. That could mean study harder. Just because you're slow doesn't mean you have to be slow the rest of your life. It may mean learn how to run faster. Just because it didn't work this time doesn't mean it's not going to work next time. What would happen? Just dream with me for a moment. What would happen if a church got that kind of vision? Well, this Sunday we didn't have 100 come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I tell you what, we're going to work all week long. We're going to plant seeds for 6 days, and we're going to cultivate, and we're going to water, and we're going to really pray, because next Sunday it might happen. And so we're going to take the risk of living a life that next Sunday it might happen. Amen. Guys, I pray every day that you all would become a group of people that get that kind of attitude. Let me tell you something, Hillview. We're kind of close to Nehemiah. We've gotten this much. We do care. You know how I care? I can look around this room and I see a lot of people that would have never been to church that have been welcomed to church. And that I honor Jesus Christ in you for. That you've opened your arms up to people that have been exiled. And the reason that is very important is because God has always opened His arms up to the people of exile. How many of y'all ever feel like you're exiled? Man, when I get around young people today, I feel like I'm exiled. I feel like I don't even live on the same planet they live on. I feel like, man, their high school experience is day and night from my high school experience. I see things going on today in families I could have never dreamed would go on. You see, I grew up in a family I could never imagine sassing my father and living. I just couldn't imagine life going on after that. Dr. Ward, what about you?
No, sir.
You told me about your dad that every kid on the block feared your dad. You know what you call that? A godly father. The fear of the Lord. Wait a minute, this man's worthy of respect. This man means what he says. Sometimes I feel exiled with how we think today. What do you think? See, I don't get political correctness. Elizabeth, boy, she tugs on me and pulls on me and prays for me and hits me upside the head. And she says, you're going to be on Fox News before it's over if you don't say things a little. And I say, honey, it is what it is. And I care enough to tell it is as it is. Because here's what I know. Once you get to what it is, then you know what it is, then God can change what it is. Amen? But until I know what it is, then I really don't know how to pray. Well, Nehemiah finds out what it is. His buddy comes, his brother. Hananiah, verse 2, his brother comes. One of my brothers from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. Now, I think here, when you care enough to question. You got to begin to question. Man, I want to, Pastor Shane, I'm so thankful for you, and I'm thankful for how God uses you, and that you're a real man of God. You're a little rare in your generation. That's why I keep praying that God send you a tough woman one day. Amen? But with a lot of money. I pray blessings on you, okay? Now watch. Pastor Shane, the reason y'all like him, you know why? It's not because he's got cool hair. It's because he, honest to God, cares about every one of you. What do you think about that, Drew? I know you're sleepy, but what do you think about that? I mean, Shane cares about you. You know what? Shane wants you to be the best Drew you can possibly be. Is that not crazy? And he prays and he says, God bless Drew. Let Drew be the best Drew that he can possibly be. Now, church, I want to show you, we got to ask the question. Start caring. We're stepping it up. We got to care about these children. How many of y'all would be willing to care about these children? We're losing it. I can read the stats. I'm have been educated enough to be able to read a stat sheet. And we got a lot of things breaking loose. And every public teacher in here knows I'm telling the truth. But you know what? We can either sit back and say that can't be changed, or we can care enough and begin to ask questions. How are our children doing in this generation? How is what behind us is? Well, they're not good. He said, the walls have come down, is what he said. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. Now, how many of y'all care about people when they get in trouble and disgrace? You know, about a year ago or so, we had that in the Christian community. Ted Haggard ended up in a hideous moment in his life, and I don't verify the moment, and guess what? Neither does he. But you know what? He's my brother in Christ, as hideous as it is. And if I was a pastor that exiled him for the grace of God, let me show you what I've just done. I've just aborted the truth of the cross. Because the truth of the cross says all sin is forgiven. And the power of the resurrection is all things can be made new again. And if you believe that all things can be forgiven and all things can be made new, then the walls that have come tumbling down don't look like walls that have fallen down, but look like opportunity for God to rebuild. You see, when people get in trouble, I want you to get this attitude. Instead of looking at the trouble they're in, let's start looking where the moment of grace can be. Wait, what have you started looking at that? How many of y'all have ever had your marriage in trouble? Besides me. You know, Elizabeth and I have had some troubled times because she didn't do what I told. No, we had some troubled times. We had some troubled times. And you know what? And I have to brag on Elizabeth because Elizabeth's a lot more. She has natural holiness. You know how sometimes you watch people like a musician. Some people can naturally play an instrument and some people have to learn how to play the instrument. Well, I've had to learn grace. I don't naturally grace. I naturally revenge. How many of y'all just got a natural revenge gear? You know, I'm kind of Old Testament, Chuck. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, an ear for an ear. We're what? Even. But here's the flawed thinking of that philosophy. If I'm even, the walls are still down. You see, when I break even means nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. Who I am is still the same, and what is still what is. But when you get with God's grace, it says, I want to go beyond what I can see into what God can do. Apparently, Nehemiah knows God. He hears some bad news. He said, your people, they're in trouble and they're disgraced. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. Now, back in an ancient city, when your wall came down, here's what happened. Your economy came down. Your protection came down. Your viability as a people group came down. And you were vulnerable to slavery. Because you could be attacked and be taken over and be oppressed and be back under the oppression of another situation. Now, I'm not a crisis man, but I am going to tell you what is, okay? We're in for some bumps in the next few years. Y'all understand that? How many of y'all realize, and I hope every one of you will realize this, you pay up sometime. You pay up. It's just a truth in life. We've built an economy based on debt, based on pseudo principles, in my opinion, with what little economic information I have. And what are we seeing right now? We're beginning to see the credit moment, what's coming in, payday. And when you buy what you cannot afford, you will eventually go broke. That's free this morning. When you buy what you cannot afford, you will eventually go broke. Make sense? So like when you buy a $400,000 house and you can only live in a $100,000 house, eventually you're going to have to pay for the $400,000 house. And if you are trying to live in a $400,000 house with a $100,000 house capability, your walls are coming down. Everybody understand? And we got some walls coming down. We got some walls coming down in the way we think. How many of you all understand this is starting to come down? I can do what I want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else and everything will be all right. How many of y'all are detecting that the 1960 philosophy of Puff the Magic Dragon, me and my magical balloon, in the age of Aquarius has not evolved? Because guess what we said? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to think the way I want to think. I'm going to disregard the principles of God. I'm going to do life according to my feelings and my moments and my whims. And I'm going to expect the great blessings of God. Does that happen? You know why the walls came down in Jerusalem? Write it down. Disobedience. Write it down. Disobedience. Remember this, disobedience will bring the walls down in my life. Young people, guess what? You know why I tell y'all not to have sex till you get married? I know it's awful sleepy to talk about this subject, but you may be awakened now. Because it will bring walls down in your potential. It's just too risky. Could be a disease that takes your life. You could have a child when you are a child. That's hard to pull off. Or the father of whoever you're dating could hurt you real bad if you did that. This is a risky deal. Wait till you get what? Why should we do that? Now, Britney Spears says don't do that. She says get drunk, drive around Hollywood. Madonna, she's Kabbalah now. She's been everything in 40 years. From material girl now to spiritual guru. You know what? Maybe Madonna's not God. What do y'all think? Maybe she's just a blonde from Hollywood. Maybe Brittany's just a country girl from Louisiana who lost her way with fame and fortune. Maybe Paris Hilton needs to get a real job for 2 days in her life just to see what life's like. But these are people we listen to. Why are they famous? Do you realize 50 years ago they wouldn't even gotten press? And today they're headlines. Because the walls have come down. Well, they come down because we get disobedient. But you know what? Nehemiah interests me because when he cares about what happens, it's just an interesting rhythm in his life, characteristic that he has. First of all, his outstanding characteristic is, I care. I just care that things get better. His second step to caring was repentance. He cared enough to repent. How many of y'all care enough to repent? Now guess what? There's a difference in repentance and observation. He had heard that the walls came down, observation, and he immediately turns to God. When I heard these things, verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. How many of y'all weep for things anymore? Anybody weep anymore? Anybody say, man, Kathy, did you ever weep when you saw that kid that was making it and they come up halfway through their junior year and boom, fall off? It hurts, doesn't it? But I'm glad you weep. I'm going to tell you something. The day you stop weeping is the day you're in trouble. Man, it's hard in the ministry. Man, being a pastor is a lot like being a parent at times. You see these new babes in Christ and they go on, man, and for 5 or 6 years they're rolling with Jesus and then all of a sudden, you know, the wolf pulls them over the side and the wolf's got their leg and he's dragging them out and you care so much. And if you can't kick the wolf off of them, guess what? You weep. But you know, church, this is just my opinion. Not thus saith the Lord. This is just Ayers' opinion. I don't think we've wept in a long time. I think we've praised, but I don't think we've wept. And Ecclesiastes 3 says, yes, there's a time to dance, but it also says there's a time to mourn. And it says there's a time to tear down, but then there's also a time to build up. So you got to weep. And Nehemiah, he wept. And prayed and fasted. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, first of all, I care about what they've told me. Second of all, I'm going to get honest in repentance. This is my problem, God. And he goes on, O Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God. I like that, don't you? O Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God, I am appealing to somebody that can make a difference. How many of y'all are glad to know when you get in trouble and you become disgraced, there is a God, an awesome God in heaven that's willing to make a difference? How many of y'all got that belief? Oh, church, the more we believe he's willing to make a difference, the more difference we'll see. Yeah? Put that in your life. I'm willing to make a difference because I have a God that makes a difference. I can be a difference because I have a God that is the difference. I can look at the world not with rose-colored glasses, but with cross-field eyes that see the world through the power of the resurrection versus the reality of humanity. Change the way you live. Nehemiah said, oh, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to the heart and the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed to you. How many of y'all have just not done what God said? Well, you need to tell him. I confess those sins. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, the laws you gave your servant Moses. We've broken the Ten Commandments. You know why the walls come down? We break those commandments. In fact, Dr. Ward and I are working on a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. I think we need to understand that those are God's principles. And I don't think the law's been taught enough where we know grace. Those are God's principles. How many of y'all realize if you kept God first in everything in your life would go better? How many of y'all realize if you don't steal stuff, you never get arrested? How many of y'all realize if you don't commit adultery, you never have to worry about a phone call that's going to ruin your life? Huh? How many of y'all realize that if you don't covet your neighbor's stuff, you don't have a heap of debt in your life? If we really actually lived out the laws and the decrees of God, guess what? Guess what Nehemiah realized, I think, Dr. Ward? We crumbled the walls because the walls weren't really made of stone and mortar. They were principles of God. And if we had kept the wall of the ten up, then the wall of reality would have stayed up. What do you think about that, Fainter? Just a thought. That the real walls that had come down were not stone, but were hearts. See, when you let the wall of your heart collapse, then you better get with God and say, Lord, we've committed sins. I've committed them. My father's committed them. We as the church have committed them. The nation's committed them. And here this day, we want to rebuild. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Nehemiah's recalling what God had said. He said, if you're unfaithful, you'll be scattered. God, we were unfaithful and we've been scattered. What you said is true. But, if you return to me and obey my commands, even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. No matter how far you get, you're not too far away from God. I'll bring you back. Amen? Wow. How many of y'all need to be brought back today? And if you don't need to be brought back today, how many of y'all could act like Nehemiah and be willing to bring someone back? You know, church, we got to be aware of that. When you see people that have been here that are not here, bring them back. You wouldn't believe all the things people leave church for. It's funny. You know, Pastor Jamie, he was accused of going to hell because he had his shirt tail out. It's true. It's an email. It's in print. I wouldn't believe the stupid people we deal with on a daily basis. It's chronic. We have a chronic crisis in the church. We are over our quota on stupidity. And we need to get confessional and quit being stupid. That's what I love about Jesus. Not only was he holy, he was very insightful and intelligent and full of wisdom also. And all of that together is worthy. Not just parts of it, all of it.
Jesus had great wisdom. He knew the human race and knew how they would change. Oh God, how far will you go far enough to get you? I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in receiving, in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. How many are ready to get honestly confessional? Honestly confessional. God, here's where I've done wrong. Here's where I've not kept up with who you are. But today, God, I want to make this happen because I care enough. And then guess what? Third point, we're done. You ready? You got to go get involved. Now, how many of y'all do the first two and then never get involved? It's impossible. You never did the first two. If you care and you repent, you're automatically involved. What do you think about that? It's just like people ask me all the time. Can people be baptized and not saved? Absolutely. Your salvation is about the life you live with Jesus Christ. If it's the real deal, it's going to come out. And if it's not the real deal, it won't come out. And you say, why do you baptize them? Because I don't know. I'm a human. I don't have the ability to judge a soul and a spirit. All I can listen to is a what? The confession. But God knows if that confession is for real or not for real. I think there's going to be a whole heap of trouble come judgment day, because I think a whole lot of folks have been baptized and never engaged in their faith and feel good about their salvation. But here's where they misunderstand salvation. Salvation is engaging in the life. What good is it to confess that the walls can be rebuilt and never see them rebuilt? How many of y'all glad to know today we got a God of action? Nehemiah knew that. He knew he must go. So here's what happens. Nehemiah, because he cares, because he's repented, because he believes, is confronted with a power situation. He is the cupbearer for the king. And then he says in verse 4, the king said to me in chapter 2, verse 4, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judea where my fathers are buried so I can rebuild it. Send who? He didn't say send the people of Israel. He said send me. And he was willing to put his job on the line to rebuild the city of his people. You know why? Because he cared. And because he repented, and because he cared enough to be the answer. A church challenging message today. I'm going to ask you as your pastor to care enough to be the answer. If you're parenting right now, please parent your children. It's your responsibility. If they're messed up, look at you. Is that fair enough? You made them. They live with you. They're yours. You say, well, mine are just rebellious. Wonder where they got that. And your pastor leads the rebels. I will make a suggestion to you. Rebels don't function as well in kingdoms as they do democracies. When you don't have a voice, it's not hard. It's harder to rebel. Parents, you are the voice until your children leave that house. And then you better pray that they've heard God's voice through you. Amen? Because that's all you got when they walk out. Amen? How many of y'all understand? When those kids walk out, they can do anything they want to do. Sometimes when they're in, they do anything they want to do and you don't find out about it. But at least give them something to rebel against. Amen? That's what I tell folks now, Trish. I have parents ask me all the time, well, Pastor, my child doesn't like going to church. So? Well, they're 12 years old, and I think they ought to have a choice. I don't think they get a choice till they have their own money.
So if you're 29 and still living at home, you don't have a choice either. If you're under my rent, you're under my rule. When you're under your rent, guess what? Guess what? I pray we're all under God's rule, amen? That's the best way. Care enough to be engaged, be the answer. Teachers, I want to thank you. Keep working this next generation. Know there's a church that's praying for you on a daily basis, every day, every day. Now, church, here's the tough question. Will we be the answer? We're starting part of the answer. Part of the answer is to get room to house kids. Fair enough? Just simple enough? Guys, I'm not good at raising money for a building. I'm just not good at it. I never have been good at it. Never will be good at it. I'm not wired for that. I don't smile enough. I don't like chicken enough to have enough banquets to raise money. Here's the thing. Let's get to the facts. We got to have room to do our thing. In this building, I want you to dream dreams. Dreams are already being dreamed. This is not a one-day-a-week building. It's not a two-day-a-week building. It's a seven-day-a-week building. It's an after-school kind of building. It's in the evening kind of building. It's to do whatever it takes kind of building to begin to rebuild what's been damaged. Amen? And so here's my dream. Everybody gets a shot from this place to have a great life. Amen? Now, I can't make you take that great life, but we sure want to give you a shot at it. Amen? No matter where you come from or what you've been through or where you've been, whether your walls are halfway up or all the way down to the ground, we want God to rebuild you to be the most successful person you can possibly be. How many of you all believe those are God's possibilities? So that's what we got to put in action. Amen? So let me give you the good news. As I watched Nehemiah, guess who I saw? Jesus Christ. As I watched Nehemiah, I saw Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sat on the hill of Jerusalem. Anybody remember this? Right before he's getting ready to leave. And what did he do over Jerusalem?
He wept.
I saw Nehemiah. And Jesus wept. And Jesus wept. And I never understood the full depth of Jesus wept. In fact, I used to go to Sunday school, and we had one of these Sunday school teachers that always put you on the spot and go, "What's your favorite memory verse?" Guess what I'd always quote? Jesus wept. And then when I really wanted to mess with him, I'd go, Proverbs 31:6, "Give beer to those who are perishing and in anguish." He goes, "That's not in the Bible." I said, "There it is, read it." He said, "You didn't quote all of it, I know. Let them remember their misery no more." So see, it's not a good situation. But I kept quoting, "Jesus wept," but then I realized, Jesus wept! Jesus looked into humanity and saw all the broken walls, and he wept. So he confessed, and he cared, and then he engaged. And he went to the cross, and he died on the cross, and he's risen from the grave. And he said, "If your walls are down, your life is plundered, and you're in deep trouble, I care enough to lead you to repentance so you can be rebuilt." Is that not a great rhythm or what? So will you stand with me today? I'm going to ask you to come and pray. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, your walls are down. Jesus would like to build you back up. Why don't you come today and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, build me up." Church, this is 8 o'clock. A lot of y'all are servants of God. There's no doubt about it. And I commend you for that. How many of y'all can begin to pray? "Dear God, I want to do my part as a church to do whatever it takes to rebuild the walls in the situations I see." I think that's a worthy prayer today. Amen? If you all would today, I just wanted to have a prayer that we would begin to care to rebuild. Make sense? We would care to rebuild. So I want you to think about the children in your neighborhood, the teenagers you see. I want you to think about our town, just our city. We have 20-something college students, 20,000-something college students in Bowling Green in fall and spring semester. Are we doing all? Are we doing what it takes? So I think three prayers. First of all, God, we want you to know we care. God, we want you to know we're sorry where we haven't engaged and where we haven't kept the commandments so that we can go through. John Piper wrote an excellent article about, three or four months ago. He's a great preacher up in Michigan. And he said this. He said, "We've lost some of the greatest leaders in the church over sexual shame." And he said, it's sad because he said, the cross relieves us of all of our shame so that we can become followers. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do today? Repent so shame doesn't have to haunt you anymore. How many of y'all, just about the time you're ready to step out and go talk to the king and go do something great, just overwhelming shame hits you? I can't do that because I've done this. No, you're right. I've done this. But God's forgiven me of this, and His grace is sufficient. Amen? And so I'm going to go on now, not remembering that I've done this, but I'm going to watch God do this through me. You be the difference today. Amen? Quit waiting on somebody else to do something great for God. Isn't it interesting that Nehemiah didn't say, well, man, I'm sorry, brothers. I'm over here with the king. I'm the cupbearer. Things are going well in my life. I'm sorry that you're in exile and great trouble avails you, but I'm going to pray for you from a distance. He said, I'll be the answer to your problem. How many of y'all could come and pray today and say, God, I'm willing to be whatever answer I'm supposed to be for whatever problem I see. Amen. Lord, thanks for loving us. Oh, Jesus. I thank you for your rebuilding mentality from the cross to the resurrection to the kingdom of God to the return of Christ. I thank you that the walls don't have to stay down. And Lord, I thank you that I can preach this with all integrity because I know the walls that have come down in my life truly have been built back up by you. And what you put in motion, God, hell cannot prevail against. And so, Jesus, draw us to this altar. Draw our conscience to care. And most of all, may we be the answer to a lot of problems we think can't be solved. Awaken us to that today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, please, let's pray today. The answer to the problems you see is your activity with God. I pray now that we would be that answer. Come, let's pray. Let's pray.